Okay, I'm going to start then, assuming everything sounds good and it will stay working. So my presentation is on what I'm calling Gopher Social Explorations. So that is definitely a made-up word, which I came up with this morning while trying to figure out this talk. And I'm kind of defining it as the nature of relationships on Gopher and related protocols. And I'm kind of going to talk about like what that exploration looks like. Right, so this presentation will have three parts. First is to talk about that exploration, so the aim of it, how to do it. The second part will be looking back at a few projects which I've done or have been a part of, kind of talking about what was used, what were the aims and the objectives and like the outcomes or lessons learned. And then I'm just going to finish things off by adding a bit more definition to who I am and kind of explaining how I found my way to Gopher and the simplicity of the Unix philosophy and all that stuff. So going into like the aim of a Gopher social exploration. So why do it? It kind of comes from my interest and curiosity about social customs, contexts, and cues, and how these things are sometimes like you can't see them. They're not always seen. The word I'd like to use for it is latent. So like in a social interaction, there's these signals that you can't see and they kind of lay just beneath the surface. And I think it's fun and interesting to try to come up with physical tokens or apparatuses to reveal and like kind of surface what are those latent social forms. A metaphor I thought of, or I thought fit that, is like when you kick up dust to reveal a laser's path. It's like the laser's, it's there, but you can't really see it unless there's a medium for it to travel through. So that's kind of the aim of the exploration, is to like create a medium or some kind of like interference that reveals what's happening in a social context or a cue or some sort of custom. Another aim is to enjoy like boring, ordinary, mundane stuff. So like, you know, all the Christmases that have happened or the Valentine's days, these things eventually get kind of like boring or ordinary, I find. And so another aim is to kind of look at those in different ways and kind of revision what they could mean. In puns, I guess. So it's like there's a lot of like enjoyment in using language as the butt of a joke. So whenever there's an opportunity for that, I think it's a great opportunity to take. So that's sort of the why. Another important part of this actually is the when. So I mentioned like the ordinary and how there are some holidays which can become ordinary, all that. So anyway, the when to explore for me is often these days that we kind of collectively celebrate, sometimes in different ways, but at the very least we all kind of acknowledge that, like, you know, today is New Year's Eve or today is Halloween or something like this. So there's a recipe for coming up with these explorations. And it's basically to choose an obvious, well-known day, choose a technology or a protocol, and then combine those two things to make something. And I suppose for me, it would be to make something a little unusual. So it could mean making a Valentine's thing, which is more about friendship or romancing oneself. Or for Christmas, like the those moments of like aloneness after being together with a lot of people. It's also helpful to have a deadline. And so I find that if there's a day, like New Year's or something, you have to get your project done by that day. Otherwise, like what's the point? It's just not as meaningful. So I find that pressure can be helpful to help me kind of narrow in on what's possible given the time I have to do something and how soon that day is coming along. Yes, I think a spooky Halloween thing could be very interesting. Right, so now I'm going to talk about some of the projects that have happened for these gopher social explorations. The first one I did was the Bit Masquerade. Very simple, pretty stupid, really kind of just came together on like a pun, which is like the word bit mask and the word masquerade, and just kind of putting those two things together. I was learning about bit masks at the time, and it was just a happy coincidence that New Year's was coming up and that there could be, I don't know, for me an opportunity to take what I was learning and put it to practice for something that people might enjoy, I guess. I don't know, just like an unusual way of having an event. So, so what it was is people would come up with a bit mask, which was created through a gopher CGI script, and then join IRC with that bit mask. And then people would try to reveal who's underneath the bit mask, much like you might do in a masquerade. So something about this, which I thought was kind of like fun, is on IRC, like we kind of know who each other is, but also not at all. Like it's pseudo or sometimes semi-anonymous, or for some people who don't reveal any trace of their like physical identity, it's super anonymous, but anyway, so that's like kind of latent in IRC. And by having this event where people hide their nicks, which are already kind of hidden with the bit mask, I thought that was kind of a fun way to just like kind of surface or bring to the surface and reveal the fact that IRC is like that. Like we're not really sure who people are. Maybe we try to reveal who they are. Maybe we can't or do. Yeah. that was the bit masquerade. This is just a little excerpt of one of the gopher menus. So this is after I'd put in my nickname, and then I'm choosing the bit mask to use. I don't have a slide for the next action, but what you would do after choosing the bit mask is you choose an operation to like flip the bits or shift them. And that would then lead to the result, which is the nick you would use in the server. This is a snapshot of one of the conversations people had trying to guess who each other was. I thought it was fun just seeing like the mundanity of like all the numbers, like that people were just these like ones and zeros, and but also just like the words they wrote and not much more than that. So it was kind of interesting seeing like personality stripped away a little bit, or at least shifted over to something else. Yes, hypermask. Yeah, I another new word. Perhaps could be related to hypermasculine or something like this. Maybe there's another pun there. So the outcome of the event is that three people participated. I learned that writing the script in Python was very unfun. I wasn't too happy about it. I chose it because I thought it could just kind of I don't know. I thought it'd be simple. There'd be like fewer dependencies and less like spaghetti code, but it kind of just wasn't that fun. So I would probably use a different language if I were to do this or something like it again. So the next two projects are related to one event, and that's Valentine's Day. And so I have a bit of a fascination with Valentine's Day. I like to print cards and send them, like real ones, to people, physical cards. I think that's kind of fun to do. I think it's also interesting the idea of like secret admirers. So like, you know, that you might like someone or admire someone's work, and perhaps Valentine's Day is a great occasion to like tell them and not say who you are. So a person just knows that someone's thinking about them in like a positive way. Yes, bringing love to Gopher Space, that is definitely the aim here. There's a few other parts of Valentine's Day I liked and wanted to capture. The magic of opening a box of cards, saying nice things about people. I then like the idea of the Cupid. So this like messenger that goes between people or like sets them up or hides a message. That was something else I was kind of interested in. And so the two projects that were made for this kind of used each of these interests differently, as we'll see. I'll talk about the first one, which is post-strike, which was super weird, big, but not really a waste of time, but didn't really turn into something that was a good use of time. The aim was for it to be this like mailbox service over Gopher. So a combination of like Gopher CGI scripts and a CLI tools for depositing secret messages into an encrypted-ish mailbox. The aim was to allow people to deliver messages to each other without revealing the sender. So to kind of like basically create these mailboxes where you could just kind of deposit messages without saying who you are, and then someone would, well, the owner of the mailbox would read the messages. I'm not actually sure how to explain it very well because it was a bit of a like flash in the pan for me, and I sort of like dropped it from my memory, I think. But here's a breakdown, I guess, of like the different things you could do, the different like actions. So the shell scripts, those you'd run in a terminal, and you would create the mailbox or retrieve a mailbox or decrypt your mailbox using a combination of curl and OpenSSL commands. The other part was the Gopher site, and this was like the more interesting thing. So you would go to the Gopher menu and you'd be able to send mail to people. So if I had created a mailbox using the shell script, you would then see that or someone else would see it. They could choose my mailbox, which would be marked by my nickname. And then they could send a message using some kind of template. yes, the ASCII heart, that was very nice. It did seem like a hard thing to do. So you choose a template. And so initially, Post-Strike had one template, and it was a Valentine's template. And it was styled after those, like, sweetheart candies. The ones that say, like, be mine, or, like, I'm yours, or whatever. And the idea is that you would go through this template system, you would choose one of those messages, then you'd write, like, a little note, and it would be sent to the mailbox. And when it's sent to the mailbox, it's basically, like, I think, what is it? It's appended to a tab-separated file, which gets encrypted with the public key that you upload when you create the mailbox in the first place. So it's kind of how it works. Not a great explanation. Maybe I'll try and document it better sometime because it's an interesting failure, I think, in some ways. Anyway, the outcome for that was that I learned that it was hard to move the application around. I worked on it on my laptop, which runs Void, and when I tried to deploy it to my OpenBSD server, there's like a bunch of incompatibilities with some of the commands. Like Xargs, I think, had some different like arguments, or had some that were missing. I mean, what I know, it also became really complicated, like, as I added more features, and things would break, or I wouldn't be sure if they were still working, like, after refactoring something. So it was kind of, yeah, it was weird. It was hard to wrangle it. I really did enjoy learning about the OpenSSL tools. That was, like, super cool. I think there were just a few I used mostly. Like encrypting and decrypting things was like the main set of commands. At the end of the day, it ended up being like way too complicated of an implementation, as well as like way far off from the initial aim of the idea, which was to like send nice things to people without them kind of knowing or having to guess who it might be from. Right. So EdTelegram was the other Valentine's project, and this one worked, or at least it was like complete. In here, an existing Bitrake service was used. This is a great thing to do. I probably should have like looked at this angle in the beginning, is to use something that already existed and just like supplement it or enhance it. So basically what was done here is a template was added, which would let people construct a Valentine's Day card, which had this nice heart cover that 20H made. And you would encrypt the telegram, you'd get a password, and then you would have to send both the password and the telegram's location to the recipient. So this didn't meet one of the aims of the Valentine's projects. There was no messenger. So something I really wanted was like a messenger to deliver the messages. But that wasn't possible. There was talk between me and 20H about maybe using IRC to deliver them, but I think weren't sure how to prevent abuse, or it was at least would be an unfun thing if it was abused. So that didn't work, but there were other things about it which were nice, I think. So those are the projects. Hopefully like sort of I guess makes sense. Some of these things are a bit hard to talk about retrospectively. I may like to figure out a better way to document them next time around. I'm just going to finish by just talking a bit about myself to explain how I ended up here, because I think that can be fun to hear about. The show Halt and Catch Fire, it's like an AMC drama about different periods in computer history. And they mentioned Gopher at one point in it, or at least I think they did. And that led me to searching it on the World Wide Web, but eventually finding IRC through the Gopher project. I think there was a website or something, or maybe a FloodGap URL. Anyway, something led me to that channel on Libera, and eventually to Bitrake. And when I first joined those IRC servers and channels, that was actually the first time I'd been on IRC. So it was kind of a new thing. It was a little bit like intimidating at the start, but people were so like good humored that it ended up being, well, I stuck around, obviously. So it has turned into being like a nice source of camaraderie, or it's like often like people post very funny things, make great jokes in the channel. So I'm happy to have arrived here. I have a background in fine arts, so and now a global presentation. I know, such humble beginnings. My background's in fine arts. I studied like art theory. So, and as a part of that, like how to use computers for art making. So they called it new media. It seems natural that I would then find like old Unix technologies or ideas and be able to use those for some form of artistic expression. Unfortunately, I don't have like a robust knowledge of programming or computers. I find that a little frustrating at times, not being able to like execute something. But I do think that, you know, it's working within one's capabilities can be very satisfying and fulfilling. So even if I knew how to do everything, I might be in the same place I am now, I guess, if that makes sense. Yes, well, execute some ideas. Yes, we execute ideas sometimes. Computers are, yeah, I think they are new media. I guess it was more in the like 80s and 90s that people were doing very new media-esque things, like putting portals between cities that people could go up to. Yeah, really cool stuff has been done with computers as part of art practices. Finally, like, my fascination in Gopher and my appreciation of it really comes down to how well it balances structure and freedom. So the menu structure system is, or it's very simple, right? You can like add different menu selectors for different content types, and then you can add text around that. And I think that's kind of it. And that seems to be a really nice balance, I think, of wayfinding. So like moving around between different stuff, links, and then like the information that's there. The World Wide Web, I find in comparison, it's just crap. It's like every site has a different wayfinding system. Or a different approach to like user interfaces. It's not pleasant in the way that Gopher is. It's also, I mean, these are obvious things, but like it's not commercialized in a big way, I guess. We heard about the small computer company. It's also kind of boring. Like you have to use your imagination, I find, to like enjoy just looking at text on the screen. But very fulfilling, for me anyway. So that's it. Yes, the final thing is thinking about what we might do next for a Gopher social exploration. Labor Day's coming up. Maybe something about like being a computer laborer or something. I don't know. There's also Halloween. Perhaps there's a way to have costumes or do something Halloween-y. No idea. Anyway, that is my talk. Thank you for listening or reading along. And I think there's time for questions if anyone has any questions. I did not know that about Labor Day. Okay, let me close this down. Off balance, can't kind of move on a groove until your foot them cramp. Put this on the table and turn up the amp. Moving on, moving on a groove. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much.
I have to put this on microphone, and now you should only hear me. Thank you. Here's your applause.